My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's as if the folks who put the lectionary together, in fact, it's as if the entire tradition and the way we've shaped the biblical canon is setting us up to miss the point. You see, our first reading today is supposed to remind us of John the Baptist. I'm sending my messenger ahead. And in fact, it's the way we've shaped the Old Testament as Protestants. That's the last book of the Bible. And it even goes on to, like, say, Elijah's coming. And then we turn the page and there's Matthew's gospel. And we read and we see John. And we're like, oh, great. John the Baptist is Elijah who's to come. And he goes out in the wilderness. And everyone's been talking about it forever. They've been pointing right at John. Well, sure. That's one way to read it. But it traps us in a false understanding of what prophecy is, I think. I mean, today we've got just what amounts to a pile of prophecy before us. And it gets even more dangerous because we look at this bit quoted from Isaiah, we look at Malachi, and then we say, oh, it was all pointing at John. These guys were telling the future, they predicted John, and then he came. And so that's that. It was all fulfilled, and we're good to go. So it's just a day to memorialize the fact that John had happened and someone said he was coming. Well, whoop-de-doo. Right? I mean, what bearing does that really have on you or I? But if we talk about history just for the sake of remembering that these things did occur, it's sort of navel-gazing. It's, or maybe looking at somebody else's navel, but it's not going anywhere. It's over and done. And that's an understanding of history that's just one thing after another. And this thing that we're doing now is just one more to put on the shelf in the line of things that will happen. But that's not the way we understand time theologically. What we're all hoping for, what this whole tradition is aiming at, is eternal life, which isn't just perpetual existence. If eternal life, the great promise, was just perpetually existing, one more thing after another for on and on and on and on, it sounds so wearisome. But eternity is all things all at once. It's the past and the future and the present all wrapped up continually. Which doesn't make any sense to us because all we have perception of is right now. And in fact, right now is what the prophecy is all about. Prophets talk in terms of the future, not because they're trying to tell us exactly what will happen in every tiny detail. They're reflecting back at us the problems of today, the truth about who we are and the societies that we live in, and the relationships we have. And in the same way that prophecy does that with the future, looking at history does the same thing for us. We look into history, into the things that went before us, what our ancestors did, to try and make sense of what's happening now. It gives us a bearing, because if all we had conception of was this very moment, well, we would make wildly different choices, wouldn't we? If you had no conception of the past, or even worse, of the future, and there's only moment by moment, and you forget it all as they come, well, you would just live it up. Or maybe forget to do anything because you have no conception. We look at history, it gives us a sense of where we came from, what works. And we see in looking at this history of John that God comes through. That what God says God will do happens. Which gives a lot of credit to these visions of the future we've been rehearsing since All Saints Day at church. Of this resplendent glory when Christ comes in fullness and we just live in peace and freedom and joy. If we isolate these things to a celebration of the past, we forget that they have a future bent or that they mean anything to us now. If we relegate it to the future, well, then we're just delaying our repentance, facing who we are. Because the call of prophecy and the point of prophecy is to tell the truth about today, about who we are, about who God is and what that relationship is. And the only honest response to prophecy, be it couched in terms of the past or of the future, is what John was calling for, is repentance. Repentance is telling the truth to ourselves. Because if we say that we're without sin, the truth isn't in us. We're deceiving ourselves even, right? And when we tell the truth and accept that, we start to need to depend on God even more. Because the scraps of our lives that we've knit together, as nice as they seem to us, as much as we want to hold on to them and tell ourselves that our lives are good and comfortable, when we're honest about it, they're sort of broken and petty. We trick ourselves, we hurt those around us, we prop up systems that aren't going to solve all the world's problems. We need a savior for that. Last week I presided at the services, and the first service, I just sort of off the cuff glibly said, and hopefully this is the last time we'll have the first Sunday of Advent, because we'll get what we hope for. Christ will come back and we won't do Advent again, because that's what we're waiting for. And a couple people came up to me afterwards like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And I said it at the second service, and it made some folks uncomfortable because they thought, well, no, I'd like to have Christmas again in 2016. I like Christmas. In fact, at the second service, I said, and hopefully we won't even get to the sermon, right? Because Christ will just come back in the next 5 minutes. And that's uncomfortable. We've all made plans. Like, everyone probably has some conception of what they're doing this afternoon. But our great hope is that we won't get there. That this afternoon will not come. Because the truth of it is, whatever we have planned for this afternoon has issues. And so what we're faced with, somehow, is to live our lives in this world, live today, and probably this afternoon and tomorrow, and maybe even next week. But caught in that tension that Christ is coming as he did before. That's why we're going to celebrate Christmas in 20 days, or no, 19 days. See, I'm terrible at math. It's not the details almost fall apart and don't matter, right? We're going to celebrate a baby being born, not because we're just so hoping that our God will come as a cute baby again, because wouldn't that be darling? Christ was born and that's done. We're not just memorializing that. Because Christ came once, we can trust that Christ is coming again. And it changes who we are today. It starts to reveal that we haven't fixed everything. Now in the 21st century, the most advanced we've ever been. You know, we can point to all these great technological advances, medical care, all of it. But still, all of it will be laid low, leveled out like the mountains and the valleys when Christ comes and makes everything as it should be. And there's only one response to that: to repent. And God is so willing to forgive. It's God's goodwill to be merciful and to love us and to give us a place in that kingdom. That kingdom that's poking in now and will be here fully. Repent, for the kingdom draws near. Amen.